This is Jim Inkster. Good morning and welcome to Talk Louisiana on WRKF. Matt Doyle is producing, and your number is 877-217-5757. We start with Louisiana Family Forum Executive Director Gene Mills. He's been on the ground floor of this organization since it began in the year of 1998. The group's stated mission is to persuasively present biblical principles in the centers of influence on issues affecting the family through research, communication, and networking. And this is in the context of some issues that are permeating as we speak, including gambling in Louisiana, even though it's called gaming. We know that, as Tyler Bridges reported in The Advocate on Sunday, in the 3 years starting in 1990, the legislature legalized a state lottery, 15 riverboat casinos, a land casino in New Orleans. It legalized slot machines at three of the state's four racetracks in 1997, and the fairgrounds got slots a decade later. Gambling is now the biggest source of money to the state treasury from any industry, including oil and gas. And we have a chance to add to that with sports betting, already legalized in the great state of Mississippi. The committee yesterday gave a thumbs up to sports betting. Some people believe this is a train on its way to its final destination, which would mean that it would be legal in Louisiana. Gene Mills, what's your take on this?
Well, I think it's a bad bet for Louisiana, and I'm doing my best to make that case. And I think there's some salient points that Tyler points out in that article and that were provided in testimony in committee in Jude B yesterday that will cause some to stop and take notice, hopefully enough to make a difference.
What are the points that you're making?
Well, one is Louisiana is the number 10th most addicted state, or has the highest gambling addiction rate in the top 10. I think we're ranked number 10 in the United States right now. A DHH and UL study placed that number of problem gamblers at close to 180,000 people. And therein lies the predicament. That's just the ones we know about. And Karen Carter Peterson testified to her own personal struggles, I thought rather courageously and forthrightly yesterday in committee. And she talked about the shame that was involved, the fact that if it were not for her family structure, she may have been susceptible, as many gambling addicts are, to suicide. And she mentioned, I think I might mention quite accurately, that the suicide rate amongst problem gamblers or addicted gamblers is 2.5 times that of just about any other addiction. So those are some of the social impacts. We can get into the impact upon the family, but this idea has got some problems that have not been worked out yet. And I think Jude B is not necessarily the best test case for the propriety of this idea. That oftentimes Jude B is where bad ideas go to gain speed.
877-217-5757 is your number. Sports betting in Louisiana, of course, could add a lot of money to the state coffers. Certainly wouldn't be a panacea to all the problems we have, but right now lawmakers are scurrying for every dollar they have, and some people view this, Gene Mills, as an optional tax, not one that is imposed upon the citizens without their consent. Obviously, if you go to a casino or if you cast a bet on the Saints or against the Saints, you're doing that of your own volition. Is there some validity to that argument?
I believe there is. And look, the libertarian in me wants to believe that that's the only people that will be impacted. But if you're going to talk about the cost-benefit analysis of providing that service, purely from a libertarian standpoint, you got to be honest about the numbers, and we still have problem gamblers, and they haven't necessarily been able to overcome their addiction. And I think the responsibility lies with the industry to see to it that those are dealt with properly and not other taxpayers through tax outlets. When you look at that 180,000 number I mentioned of problem gamblers, and Karen Carter Peterson is a very influential woman, a very accomplished individual, an attorney, an elected official, and in her own testimony claimed that she was unable to overcome her own addiction and was ashamed by it. So this isn't something that willpower alone can resolve. But let's talk outside of the addicted category. Let's talk about the impacted. For every problem gambler or voluntary tax provider who goes to the gambling enterprise. Typically, there are six or seven family members or employees or business that are directly impacted by their problem. And therein lies the scope of the larger problem. And when you start trying to assess a value to that, it's very difficult. Oh, Tyler cited a professor out of the University of Illinois who found that for every dollar of government tax revenues from gambling, that the government spent three in the cost to society for gambling addicts who commit crimes, file for bankruptcy, or lose their home. So I think there's a balance there that you got to look at, and I don't think we found that balance yet.
Well, some people would say that sports betting is not as egregious as casino gambling. In fact, some people obviously win, and it does require, if you're going to be successful at it, you would think, some knowledge of what you're doing and about the teams you're betting on or betting against. Some people believe, is a totally different animal than going to the blackjack table or playing craps. Is there a distinction in your mind?
Not in this bill, because you got to go to those facilities in order to access this. And therein lies the dilemma, Jim. Under the existing regulatory scheme of gambling, you have 15 land-based or riverboat casinos and the truck stops, and they are highly regulated and aggressively taxed and constantly overseen. Introducing this new form of sports betting would be done in those bricks-and-mortar facilities or boats or truck stops. Excuse me. And in the process of doing that, it would allow the regulatory scheme to stay the same. What's unique is that sports betting will be given the opportunity to do it on electronic devices. And that personal electronic device opens the floodgates to a number of things, the most immediate of which is the number of positions that are allowed in a gambling facility. Right now, a position is determined by the number of machines, betting machines, that you can have in a given set of square footage. If you add everybody's iPhone to that number, you will have easily deregulated the industry and expanded it. And the problem that I have with it is that the geofencing technology that makes it available at the casino is not perfect science, and they've admitted that it's not perfect. You have the gambling interests who are overseeing the geofencing. That's kind of like the fox guarding the hen house. But the out-migration of that information, once it's accessed your phone, it has the tendency to follow you home. And that's what I believe is the real nefarious side of this, is that it could open the floodgates to kids or access to problem gamblers outside of having to visit a boat or visit a casino or a truck stop. And I think it's a bad business model, and it'll probably be called out on that.
Your number again? 877-217-5757. We're hearing the voice of Gene Mills, the eloquent leader of the Louisiana Family Forum, as you can hear, dead set against casino gambling. And a listener notes that he goes, this is Tracy, he goes to casinos for concerts and for other events, but never places a bet. So if you go there with the specific purpose of betting on sports, does that necessarily mean you're going to be tantalized enough that you're going to end up losing your shirt betting on something else?
No, I think people can practice in any number of behaviors, some questionable and some not so questionable, and not be impacted by it. But those who are definitively impacted. And I don't believe the industry has paid its due in offsetting those costs that Tyler points out in that advocate piece, and that we've seen in the churches who oftentimes are left to pick up the broken pieces and try to put it back together again. So a libertarian argument can be made that this might be able to be provided and the cost might be able to be offset. But I don't think you'd be looking at a DHH budget of $13 billion if you didn't have impacted families who are on the low end of the spectrum, who, by the way, forfeit $3 billion a year in personal assets or wealth and wager them and lose them. That's the money that's actually wagered, and it takes into consideration what the industry feeds back in terms of profit and then pays in taxes, to the tune of $3 billion a year. Asset accumulation is the number one predictor of a person's economic viability going forward into the future. And if you look at Louisiana, not many people are future-oriented when it comes to this question. And we're doing some things in public policy that are discouraging them to think about their future and that are encouraging some more short-term behaviors, sometimes with steep price tags.
877-217-5757. We're going to take a short break here in a moment, and we'll continue with Reverend Gene Mills, head of the Louisiana Family Forum Against Sports Betting in Louisiana. Mississippi has put it in place in the Magnolia State, and of course, Mississippi is a state much like ours, even poorer, if you can imagine that. This would also involve horse track facilities as well, and there are four of those, I believe, in Louisiana. But Gene Mills says, we've got enough gambling, we don't need more, even though technically in Louisiana we have no gambling. It's called gaming. And by the way, go to our Facebook page, Talk Louisiana, and you can find out much more about the show. We're back after this pause. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. Gene Mills, head of the Louisiana Family Forum, is with us. He is against this bid to have sports betting in Louisiana. Mark Ballard, who should be with us tomorrow, the Capital Bureau Chief for the Advocate, on the front page of the Advocate today, writes, the effort to legalize wagering on college and professional sporting events passed its first legislative furlong yesterday when a Louisiana Senate committee advanced the measure for further consideration. Sports betting is not the solution to the state's fiscal problem, says the chief sponsor, Danny Martini of Metairie, but if Louisiana doesn't move now, the already slumping gambling industry, which contributes more money to the state than any other industry, will lose more. Several states, including Mississippi, have approved sports betting on the heels of a United States Supreme Court decision last year that allowed its expansion. What do you think? 877-217-5757. Danny Martini estimates the sports betting prospect in Louisiana could raise at least $40 million, perhaps $60 million for state coffers. Henry at the Country Club of Louisiana, you're on the air with Reverend Gene Mills. Hi, Henry.
Hi, Mr. Jim. Hi, Reverend Mills. First of all, I want to wish y'all gentlemen a happy Easter because we are still in the octave of Easter. I got a question for Reverend Mills, though. Reverend, don't you think that the press might be a little biased since the Baton Rouge Press Club pumps money into the casino industry by having their luncheons at the casino here in town?
It's at the casino hotel. It's not in the casino, but Henry, trying to stir some trouble. What do you think, Reverend Mills?
I think Henry does a good job of that. He always stirs the pot from the bottom.
I have
found that there are a number of cozy relationships in the gambling industry. I don't believe the media locally is polluted by the influence, but I think the allure of cost-effective alternatives have impacted restaurants, hotels, any number of other industries. And I think it's what makes these preferred monopolies, and really they do operate like a little oligarchy. It gives them a distinct advantage over the competitors' alternatives. And it's doing it on the basis of that personal asset forfeiture that I talked about a moment ago. And I think it could be very difficult to compete with on a head-to-head basis. And it could be very difficult for an association to say, no, thank you. I'm not going to take you up on your extra square footage for our large association meeting or your ability to underbid your competitor by this much percentage points because you have a distinct advantage with facilities. So, I think there's an allure there.
Well, I recall back in the year of 1998 when you began your tenure with Louisiana Family Forum, downtown was a wasteland. Then we got those two casinos, and the hotel sprung up with the Bell, and now we've got six more hotels down there. So did casino gambling, Gene Mills, with all of its evils, did it actually revitalize downtown Baton Rouge?
It all depends on whose ledger you believe. If you talk to those who I've told you are personally impacted by it, they'll say perhaps, but they did it at a very steep price. And I will tell you this, it's very difficult, again, for some of my friends who have different associations to say no to those casinos. Harrah's is being discussed right now, and the 30-year renewal in New Orleans, and the terms upon which that's going to be. We made the case last year. Look, if you're going to have gaming or gambling, and you're going to renew the contract, perhaps you ought to do it at fair market value. Never mind my personal opposition. The good taxpayers of Louisiana deserve, there's a right to know, what is my return on my investment? And what are the hard costs involved in providing these services? And, Jim, I don't think we've gotten to that yet. I haven't been able to, and I've been looking for those numbers.
All right. Well, gambling, as noted, has surpassed oil and gas as a revenue source for the state. Jim Richardson, the best bean counter of them all, the LSU economics professor, notes that last year the state collected $618 million in taxes from oil and gas, $726 million from gambling. $422 million of that came from the casinos. The video poker machines produced $186 million, Harris $63 million, and slots at racetracks $53 million. 877-217-5757 for Reverend Gene Mills. Gustavo in Goodwood. Hi, Gustavo.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you so much, Reverend Mills. We appreciate your work tremendously in keeping our communities and our society, or at least attempting to maintain its moral values. When, I don't know, 20, 30 years ago now, perhaps, when the lottery and the casinos started sprouting, my understanding was that a lot of the revenues that were going to be produced in relation to state taxes and the such were going to go towards education. Has that been the case?
As thank you, Gustavo.
Understanding it. To my understanding, it has, and thank you for those kind words. It hasn't necessarily kept pace with the cost of education, and therein lies the dig, and I think Danny Martini spoke to this. It's not going to solve all of the state's problems. But as long as we continue to invest in industries that have a tendency to have a questionable component or deregulate those industries, we're going to continue to see an out-migration of our best and brightest and an out-migration of our Fortune 500 companies. I believe as gambling grows, you could correlate the increase in gambling in Louisiana with the decrease in our state's population and Texas's rapid growth because of their business model for funding government, which is very different than ours.
877-217-5757, a line open, and remaining time with Reverend Mills. Ann on Blue Bonnet, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Ann.
Good morning. Two quick points. One is, I believe a lot of the downtown redevelopment had more to do with bringing all of the governmental buildings back downtown. When you saw that, then you started to see restaurants opening for lunch to serve those people, hotels to serve the people who were coming for meetings there. So I would not attribute the downtown redevelopment necessarily to the casinos. I don't know empirically, but I think that it had more to do with the bringing the government buildings downtown. Second, I echo what Mr. Mills said about the gambling addiction affecting multiple people. I have personally seen a couple of young people that have gotten into some drug addiction, and then they get into gambling to pay for that, and they steal money from their parents and their grandparents, and the parents and the grandparents then don't have enough for retirement. They've got to work more years, or they've got to do something to help take care of that, and that is just rampant. It is a serious side effect of having the gambling in our state. Thank you.
All right, Ann. Gene Mills, you're getting some favorable calls today. I think there is a large segment of the population on both sides of the political spectrum agreeing with you on this. But nonetheless, the state is broke. What options do we have independent of doing something like this?
I think it's a long-term view of where we want to be in 20, 30, 40 years. Do we really want to reinvest in a Harris Early Learning Center for childhood education? Or are there better alternatives? And by the way, this bill has got some problems of its own that are yet to be addressed. Currently, the tax rate that is being called for in the bill is 10% lower than the comparable tax rate or the lowest tax rate for other gambling segments. And I think you're going to find that, typically speaking, unless the whole industry moves together, and it has a tendency to cannibalize other components' efforts. And you're going to see some of that as they talk about the disparity. of a 10% tax rate or an 11% tax rate, as opposed to 21.5% or as high as 34, 35, 36% in other forms of gambling. So it's got some obstacles to clear before we clearly see whether or not the people of Louisiana really want to do this. But, Jim, I remind your listeners to LSU to remember just this past football season, in the final moments of a number of LSU football games and the New Orleans Saints football games, when bad calls focused the attention on the referee. And you can't tell me that money from the outside sources in sports betting can't influence a player, a coach, or a referee's decision-making on the field and at the moment. And that's the great cost that we may never be able to capitalize on.
All right, we do have to take a short break for the news with Karen Henderson, but we will return with Gene Mills for a bit more time. 877-217-5757. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle is producing, and a reminder that you can go to our Facebook page, Talk Louisiana, find out more about the show. And also, if you're so inclined, there are podcasts available at talklouisiana.org 24 hours a day, not only of the current show, which will be posted a few minutes after we conclude, but also previous programs over the last more than 2 years now. We've been back on WRKF now for 25 months. 877-217-5757. In our remaining time with the Reverend Gene Mills, head of the Louisiana Family Forum, discussing, for the moment, the sports betting measure, which cleared a Senate panel yesterday. Danny Martini, the sponsor, says he wants the proceeds from taxes to be dedicated for early childhood education, with some portion used to fund programs that address compulsive gambling. Karen Carter-Peterson testified about her personal struggle. She is the chair of the Louisiana Democratic Party and, of course, a senator of note in the upper chamber. 877-217-5757, and a listener at talk@talklouisiana.org, Gene Mills, says, with you being against sports betting, would you be in favor of an increase in the minimum wage?
You asking me that question?
Yes.
Not particularly. I don't think it's the business of government to determine a private employer's decision-making with regard to his employees, except in strict and limited circumstances. And look, Jim, one of the problems that I have in this debate is the balance of power. When you feed the government tax resources, what you're feeding is the police power of the state, and it has the ability for some to provide what they need, but it's also got the ability to take what you have. And there is a very volatile and careful balance between the size and scope of government and what it does versus what we do independently and privately.
Okay, now some people are hearing this and saying, can you believe this? The man saying we don't want to raise the minimum wage because government ought to stay out of these kinds of affairs. And then on the other hand, you say government should stop sports betting. Is there an inconsistency there, Gene?
I don't believe there is, because I derive my position from a clear set of values that say there are certain moral issues that impact and damage individuals that the government's got a responsibility to speak to, and I haven't seen that case made with regard to the minimum wage.
Clay in New Orleans. Hi, Clay. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I have an issue with the state government coming in, or any government coming in, and telling the 90% of people or more who are actually responsible with gaming what they can do with their own money. We have tons of things that are legal that some people have problems with, and we still allow those things to be legal because people can do them responsibly, and we shouldn't punish the majority because some people have issues. And I'll take the response off the air.
All right. Thank you, Clay, in New Orleans. Reverend Mills?
And look, I tell you, I have libertarian tendencies that say the same thing, and so there's a careful balance here. But the government has a moral responsibility to tend to those social fallout and the costs that allowing or regulating those businesses and what they have. That private taxpayer that can forfeit freely his personal income without problem, or the casino goer, is also the taxpayer that's going to forfeit not so freely the tax costs associated with taking care of this affected population. So I don't disagree with you. The government ought to have a limited voice and a smaller one. That's why the people need to speak, and they need to let their elected officials know what they feel.
Ricky Causey writes, gambling only works to help a place like Nevada because so many tourists bring their money there and leave it there. In a place like Louisiana, the casinos will profit and the state will mostly squander the revenue that comes from the pockets of its poor citizens. It's a circle that goes nowhere but in a losing circle. That from Ricky Causey, another sentiment that I'm sure, Gene Mills, you're shaking your head and saying amen.
In my experience, it's a pyramid scheme that either expands or deregulates in order to survive.
All right. Sabash at the Country Club of Louisiana, neighbor of Henry. Sabash, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, Jim. I couldn't stop myself from calling you because the most ridiculous thing I heard on this show this morning from the Reverend is it is a private thing between an employer and an employee. So he wants to bring in the slavery again because that is also privacy, private employment. I mean, the minimum wage is a living wage that is required. I mean, I have been a businessman. And if the government says you should pay $7 minimum, then I would pay $7. If it doesn't say anything, then I will pay them a 99 cents an hour, like I made when I was doing my PhD.
All right, Sabash. Doesn't the government have to step in at some points, Gene Mills?
I think that's what everybody would like. And I believe if we're not careful, what we're going to get is a lot of what we would like in the short term and a lot of what we dislike deeply in the long term. I think the private market can make better decisions with regard. When I've seen the efficiency of the Department of Motor Vehicles or the Department of Transportation or that traffic that your caller who just called in will be stuck in this afternoon, I don't look to the government to sort out a business model, propriety, or profits. I look for individuals to do that. And liberty has the ability to accomplish that. It doesn't mean that it'll always do it in a fair and equitable way. And so there are matters of morality where it's imperative when one has no voice that the government step in. I just don't see the minimum wage being that component.
Delia asks, have you, Reverend Mills, or the Louisiana Family Forum ever accepted contributions from the gambling industry? Or gambling?
Not to my knowledge.
Not to your knowledge.
Or knowledge.
He says, or she says, gambling industry lobbyists in exchange for support or opposition to legislation that would favor one type of gambling over another.
No, sir. We don't do that.
Okay.
That's one thing we don't do.
David in Atlanta. Hi, David. You're on Talk Louisiana.
You know, I think there should be a law against Reverend Mills using Jesus as a meal ticket, and I think I should be free. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness means a lot to me.
Well, that was a cheap shot, but keep going.
Well, no,
going.
It is.
What's
no,
your,
it isn't.
What's
because
your
I
question?
Don't want. No, it's not a cheap shot. It's the truth. More damage has been done to this country probably by religious fanatics like.
Okay. Well,
Reverend
what's your
Mills
question? What's your
to
question?
Trying to tell women how to control their reproduction.
All right. What's your question, David?
Well,
in Atlanta?
My question is. What I do with my money is my business, and if people have a serious gambling problem and that hurts their family, they're gonna find a way to gamble regardless, and no law is going to stop it. So let people live their life and be free in a country that was founded on freedom, Reverend Mills.
Reverend Mills, your response, please.
With my ability?
Yes.
Does that same principle exist with my ability to let my voice be heard at the Capitol? You see, that liberty's got a two-edged sword. It's your ability to say what you want, but it gives me the authority to do the same. That's all we've done.
Mm-hmm. Now, as far as levels of addiction, do you think more people are affected by addiction to gambling than, say, substance abuse or sex addiction? Is there a problem in those areas as well?
I think there probably is a problem in that area, but I don't know that I'm a subject matter expert that can break that down for you. I think State Representative or Senator Karen Carter Peterson cited a statistic that the suicide rate amongst addicted, active addicts to gambling is 2.5 times that of any other addicted capacity. I think there's something there that warrants a deeper investigation and a closer examination. Certainly with regard to the problems that I see with this bill, never mind the big idea. It's got an $8.5 million fiscal note over a 5-year period.
All right. Well,
that's substantial.
Producer Matt Doyle has presented me with this story. It is fascinating. 69-year-old Arkansas woman convicted of second-degree murder in the fatal shooting of her husband after he ordered a pornography channel to their satellite television services and the beautiful town of Pine Bluff. This is Patricia Hill, found guilty yesterday of killing her husband. This is 40 miles southeast of Little Rock for those who've traveled that road, Highway 65, on the way to the Arkansas Capitol. Here is Miss Hill making her 911 call.
911. Yes, I need a police and ambulance out to... My husband's been shot.
Who shot him, ma'am?
I did.
Were y'all arguing or something, ma'am?
Yes, ma'am.
Let me transfer you to the ambulance service, okay? Is he breathing?
I don't know.
Are you still there?
Yes.
Hold on. I'm transferring you to the ambulance service. Do you still have a gun, ma'am?
No.
Ambulance service.
911 transfer.
Yes. I need an ambulance and a police.
And what's going on?
My husband's been shot.
Okay. And where is he shot at, do you know?
In the leg, I think.
Okay. Is the person that shot him still there?
Yes.
All right. Okay. Gene Mills, aside from this terrible tragedy in Pine Bluff, I'm sure you have concerns about pornography as well. And I did want to note that in Pine Bluff, this man was killed for ordering a pornography channel to his private home. And in the White House, the president lives with his first lady, and he was having an affair with a pornographic film star who says he did not use protection and got $300,000 in hush money. Stormy Daniels, the pride of Baton Rouge. Thank goodness Donald Trump didn't live in Pine Bluff, Arkansas.
Wow, Jim, that's a big jump from the Danny Martini's bill of sports betting, but I concur. Thank God he doesn't live in South Arkansas.
Well, Gene Mills, it is always a pleasure to talk with you. And
hey, you too, Jim. Appreciate the service you provide.
Let's keep it going. Thank you so much.
You got it, sir. Thank you.